It takes a hardcore blues fan to recognize the name McKinley Morganfield, but play one of his songs, and it's obvious you're listening to Muddy Waters.
Everything gonna be all right this morning.
This is Muddy's trademark song, Mannish Boy, one of the many records that helped spread the blues around the world.
Now, when I was a young boy, at the age of 5, my mother said I'd be the greatest man alive.
When discovered in 1941, he was a southern sharecropper living in a one-room shack with no plumbing and no electricity. His story is told in the new biography, Can't Be Satisfied, The Life and Times of Muddy Waters, by music historian Robert Gordon. Gordon says the first recordings of the great blues man were made on Stovall's plantation in Mississippi for the Library of Congress by Alan Lomax.
Word reaches Muddy that this white man's looking for him. And so Muddy, who has these other sidelines, including running some moonshine, he thinks, the revenue is fixing to bust me. And they do this dance. Lomax is trying to say, no, man, I want to record you. And Muddy's thinking, oh, this guy's trying to trick me, man. And it's not until Lomax asks for a drink of water and then drinks out of the same cup that Muddy drank out of, a white man drinking after a black man. And that's it. Muddy says, there's no way this guy's a cop, a cop wouldn't do that. And that establishes the trust between them for them to do the first recordings that we have.
Well, I feel in my like I feel today. I'm gonna pack my suitcase and make my gear. But I'm troubled. I'm all good.
A couple years later, he took off to Chicago.
When he gets to Chicago, his uncle says, that acoustic guitar you got, that may work fine when you got crickets outside in the South, but man, we got streetcars up here, No one's going to hear you. And he gives him an electric guitar, and Muddy begins to figure it out.
Then he runs into the Chess Brothers in the late 1940s.
The Chess Brothers were a couple immigrants to Chicago who had been running a tavern, and they saw that people in the tavern were beginning to take home recordings by people who were playing in the tavern, and they had an eye toward commerce, and Muddy had an eye toward art, and the two kind of clicked together. And
worked out pretty well for Muddy. Those early chess label records were the ones that established his reputation.
The gypsy woman told my mother before I was born, I got a boy child coming. He's gonna be a son of a gun. He's gonna make pretty women jump and shout. Then the world wanna know what this all about. But you know I'm here.
Muddy had a couple of songs that really established his identity. Hoochie Coochie Man, of course.
Right. Muddy liked to sing about sex. Sex and Muddy are intimately related.
And not just in music.
Exactly. In doing the book, as I encountered his girlfriends, I realized, it took me 5 years because it took me there was a lot of doors to knock on.
Muddy had trouble convincing Chess to record his whole band and not just him.
They said, well, this is working, let's not fix it if it ain't broke. But Muddy was in the clubs, they had forged a new sound. Essentially, this was rock and roll. It's the foundation, it's got a piano and it's banging and the electric guitar is cranked up. He's added the power of the industrial north into this southern sound.
Rock and roll came along in the mid-50s, and for a time, it hurt the blues, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. The Blues suddenly lose their audience. And Muddy establishes a couple Southside gigs. You know, suddenly the national tours fade, and he's working these gigs on the Southside. He's kind of honing the sound. And that's the sound he brings to England.
Right. He went to England and had people over there just crazy about the blues. And he came back and did Carnegie Hall. And all of a sudden, all these white people are embracing roots music, including the blues.
I think it all goes back to that 1958 trip to England. He brings his guitar and amplifier because that's what he's doing every night on the south side of Chicago. And they're over there expecting a guy to come over with an acoustic guitar and kind of shuffle and wear overalls and, you know, say, "Po' me" kind of thing. And he turns up that amplifier, and this prominent critic writes, "Every time he touched the knob on that guitar, the volume went up, and I went a few more seats back until I was out of the auditorium." And that becomes sort of the distinguishing line. Those who left the auditorium were the old fogies, and those who stayed bought electric guitars, bought amplifiers, started bands, and created what essentially became the British Invasion.
Right.
You know, selling the blues back to America.
Clapton, Keith Richards, the Beatles.
Animals. I mean, you know, the list of people who saw Muddy Waters or were influenced between 1958 and 1963 is just like a who's who of the British sound.
Then Chess Records got sold, and they had to resolve accounting matters and the way Muddy had been treated all those years.
It ended up in court. That's, you know, not the shining moment of the Chess legacy. The court papers show that they really were taking advantage of his illiteracy and having him sign papers going back 25 years to take his copyrights, and ultimately get settled to Muddy's advantage. He does leave the label and sign with CBS Records and work with Johnny Winter so that the last decade of his life is a great ending. You know, he makes four very strong albums, tours heavily, opening for Eric Clapton in large arenas, finally getting the due he had sought. And I think in the end, he became the voice of the people. This guy who goes from a sharecropping background. Sharecroppers are dismissed, despised by society. They weren't considered important enough to even keep birth and death records on. And Muddy comes from there to giving that dirt farmer a voice. And that voice, as rock and roll becomes the voice of American democracy in the latter half of the 20th century. I mean, what greater reward, besides the financial reward, could he ask for?
Music historian Robert Gordon. His new book is Can't Be Satisfied, The Life and Times of Muddy Waters. An excerpt from the book and more stories on the blues legends are at npr.org. Got my mojo working. Got my mojo working. Got my mojo working, but it just don't work on you.